Hey, y'all. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, the crazy adventures of co-parenting, and so much more with your hosts, April and Lauren. Not only are we best friends, we are also the wife and former wife of the same man. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we were able to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively parenting a lot of kids with a few husbands. We're definitely not professionals and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for, but what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our wife, mom, and divorcee belt. This ain't your mama's podcast. Welcome to episode 91 of Co-Parenting Past Chaos. But right now, we're co-parenting in all chaos. The chaos.
Oh, my Lord.
Only it's never our chaos anymore.
I mean, technically, I think it is because we birthed it. So it is our chaos.
I'm not sure we did. I think it's alien-like.
But I blame the dads.
We always blame the dads. It's just my totally go-to. First things first, does anybody have a boat they want to lend us? Because pretty soon we're going to be boating to work,
yes,
grocery stores. It has literally not stopped raining in a year.
Yeah, it's...
This entire year.
We've been under flash flood warnings now for like 2 or 3 days.
It is just... It's wet.
It's dreadful.
It's gross. Yeah. I don't like it. I'm ready for
it's
sunshine.
It's wet and the not the good
not
kind.
The good time. I'm ready for sunshine and summertime.
Yes.
But our schedule's about to get hectic because we do have a lot going on in the next few months.
You are right about
that. I'm not complaining because I'm very thankful, but we're going to be exhausted. We're probably going to be mean.
I don't know how I can be any more exhausted than I already am. Like, I'm turning into such a miserable, cold old lady. I'm just tired.
I had to go to the doctor today, so I had to get my medication refilled because, you know, I'm crazy like that. She's like, are you having trouble sleeping? I'm like,
yes.
I am tired all the time, yet I can't sleep. So I would say maybe. I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Every ailment you can have, I probably have at this point.
I want to just almost have an ailment just so I can just have a break.
Or be medicated for it. How exciting.
I can't life today. I think I've been in denial lately because we talked about recently how we've been in a funk and it just, you know, I think we've been in a funk for about 6 years.
It's the COVID funk, really.
Yeah. But right now it really is. And once we dissected it the other day, I realized that it's really several things that are the cause of the funk. And it's childhood trauma, number one.
Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, that just is the gift that keeps giving.
Forever.
Stress and anxiety, which we have.
Plenty.
Plenty. Paranoia, which you have and you sometimes pass to me. Life events, because our life is nuts. And then, naughty kids.
Yes. Yes, we have a lot of those.
When you have so many, you know that there are going to be times when somebody's just
there's
not...
There's never a quiet...
Never.
Peace.
But can there not just be one that's like real good all the time?
No.
They're all equally.
The issues rotate.
I keep praying and keep hoping that one day they'll just snap out of it and be like, you know what? We have such a good life. We probably shouldn't be so mean to our parents. But
too much to ask for, apparently.
All right. Last week we discussed the why. Why are we friends? Because nobody else could put up with our miserable lives except for the two of us. But we enjoy each other and our co-parenting dynamic. And we chose happiness instead of hatred. That's why we're best friends.
It is. Oh, and I do need to chime in because I do have a what would April
do? Oh, you do have
but
one.
It's
okay.
More
okay.
Like, would April get to this level of petty?
Probably so, more, but go ahead.
I don't feel like we talk enough about like our day-to-day little crazies that happen.
No,
we kind of just like mush them all together. But I'm going to give you guys an actual real life in the moment currently as we speak happening. So,
okay.
So I don't get petty often. However, when I do, I'm very, very good at it.
You take it to another level.
I'm like level 1000. I'm expert level petty.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I feel like that's just kind of to be expected if you are a new man in my life at this stage of the game, right? I've been married and divorced twice. I'm in my 30s. I got a ton of kids. So like, welcome to the shit show, basically.
And I'm here to hype you right up. I'm your number one fan. Go ahead, girl.
Okay. So my boyfriend has, he has an ex-wife and kids. And so we kind of have the same life, obviously. And they co-parent very closely together. Well, they also share custody of a dog.
It's not weird at all.
Not weird, right? Like, nope. That's pretty standard.
I mean, I guess I would have to share Teddy.
Right. So here's the thing, though. Lauren, myself, I hate dogs. I don't really like animals. I find them like kind of dirty and gross. And I'm like a very, very, I'm not a tidy person, but I'm a clean person. So I'm very affected by that. Like, yes. It's just, it weirds me out to have animals near me. I just feel like they're kind of gross, except for Harley. Harley is my, Harley.
And Harley's like the grossest of them all.
He's the only exception. So as part of this custody thing, sometimes he will have to take the dog. So this has happened a couple times, and I have voiced him to him in the past before he just like volunteers for this to like, hey, can you kind of give me a heads up? That would be really like appreciative instead of just showing up and there being a dog at the house. So we did that today. But for whatever reason, today of all days,
it's in the air.
It didn't sit well with me, right? Like I just wasn't feeling it. So it's not funny. And I'm so sorry if you're listening.
We're sick.
But I do want to throw myself under the bus because this is real life sometimes. So I texted him and he had asked me, he said, you know, would you mind if the dog stays tonight? And I was just like, I've hit a max of this week. I just can't anymore. So I said, sure, that's fine. I think I'll stay at Heather's this evening. So I packed my bag.
Slumber party.
And I decided to stay with Heather, who's, you know, as you know, our friend that lives right down the street. And yeah, I rolled up at her house at 4:15 with my bags and my kids. And I'm like, here we go. I don't think he really thought that I was going to do it.
No, I think he was probably shocked.
But then he texts me and says, okay, so am I going to see you Thursday? And I was like, yeah, I'll see you when I get off work, you know.
But will the dog be gone?
As long as the dog
if the dog's still there, then I'm going to say no. You're not going to say no.
I mean, my level of petty wasn't to the point where I was like, okay, well, the dog can't get on the couch or the bed. Like, I did want to be that level of petty because that's the type of, like, cleanliness that bothers me.
I would have put aluminum foil over the couch before I left. And I would have locked the bedroom door.
I did.
And climbed out the window so that I put a dresser in front of it and climbed out the window so that he couldn't get in.
But this is how psycho I am. I screenshot this conversation he has with me and I sent it to, of course, our group chat with you and Heather. And I'm like, okay, can somebody please tell me that I'm just the meanest person in the world? And no, these hoes, they're like, yes, I'll see you at 4. Yeah.
Slumber party. You bring the drinks.
I'll bring the white claws.
I don't think that that's petty. I'm sorry. And look, I'm probably the last person that should be giving you relationship advice, being as I did take your husband, apparently.
Oh, whatever.
So, but I don't think that that's petty. I would have been pettier.
Yeah. Really? I mean,
I really would have, because I would feel like, okay, wait a minute. It's me or the dog, and you're going to choose the dog. Not that that's the case. That's the scenario I would play in my head.
Well, it's kind of like you're stacked up against a hard spot, right? Like, he has custody of this dog, and I can't really say no to that. I mean, that's just like,
I could
like,
probably say no. I could definitely say no. And I am a lover of all the animals.
But it is like it's supposedly our house, right?
Yeah, you know, that's your space. And if you're not comfortable with something being in your space, then I feel like that should be
appreciated. So for me, instead of saying no, I just remove myself from the situation. It makes it simpler, I feel.
I feel like that's a very grown-up thing to do.
Thank you.
I really do.
Thank you.
Because I would have stayed there and made his life a living hell. And I would have been like, you want to sleep with the dog? Go ahead. In the kitchen floor. No blankets. But you're not sleeping with me.
Oh, this is just a PSA to everybody that really
don't
thought
marry
that,
me.
Yeah, don't marry me. If you really thought that our men have it easy, they don't.
They're probably miserable.
They probably
sit and contemplate
how they can get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Body bag.
So meanwhile, I have a sleepover with my best friend tonight. Hey, and the boys get to have a sleepover with their best friend. So it works out.
Well, there we go. We've settled that. So this week, we're going to talk about our third divorce. No, seriously, we're going to talk about the struggles of co-parenting in two different homes. We're going to try to focus on the transitions and the behavioral aspects because we have talked about we talk about our co-parenting all the time.
Yeah.
But it's a struggle. I think people think that because we are best friends and we make it look like it's easy, and sometimes it is.
Yeah. It's convenient.
There's pieces of this that's so simple. Mm-hmm. But then there are pieces that are very, very difficult.
They're very difficult. And they're also, I think, very relatable to anyone dealing with a co-parenting situation.
Yes.
Because we all have those swap days, right?
Yeah.
Or those adjustment periods with your kids. And guess what? No matter how closely you co-parent, you still have the issues that come up.
Yeah. And no matter how much you love your current relationship, and I know you do, and you're in a great mm-hmm. relationship, and I do love John, and I know I pick at him a lot, but he is a great man, and I love him, but he annoys me.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's normal.
And you get annoyed by people. I know I annoy him. I annoy my own self.
I annoy myself.
So I know that I annoy him.
Yeah.
But it's very, very hard in a co-parenting world when you're a step-parent or even the biological parent. You got to put up with a lot, and in this kind of blended family situation, you're not the only one making the rules. There's right. so many hands in the pot. It's just, it gets hard.
Don't take a page from Lauren's book because she just
or mine because we're sleeping with the dogs. Before we get started, let's flashback. And I kind of have a love-hate relationship when we flashback, because on one hand, I love to see how far we've come in our relationship. But at the same time, I don't like to think about
how nasty it used to be
or how petty.
I mean, apparently,
because that's just something for us.
The pettiness just transitioned itself.
Yeah, it's changed its route. Changed.
Yeah,
it's went still from there. Each other. Now we project it onto others, which I think is a very good step in the right direction.
Super healthy.
But we had a few different parenting schedules that we tried out
yeah.
during our co-parenting journey, especially when we first started. And we've done week on and week off, which is what we do now. We've done 2 weeks at a time at each home. A few days here, a few days there. Weekends every other weekend.
The 2-2-3.
Yeah, we've had children. One child stay in one home and the other stay in the other home.
Which is funny, because in the beginning of our custody, I remember John and I both being, that was the only thing we were the most adamant about, is that we would never separate the boys. But then we got to a place where we were like, okay,
maybe. Through the crowd. So
one too many.
Yeah. But I love that the situation that we have going on right now, I love it the most, because for organizational sake and my sanity, but everybody else's, we do have a routine and we have a calendar where it says, okay, this week the kids are here and that week the kids are there. But we're very flexible.
Yes, very.
If something comes up and you need something, or you have something going on, we take over. And when we have something going on, you take over.
Yep.
Easy. Case in point, this weekend, we had soccer. You took the kids when it was supposed to be our time. And then this weekend, we'll try to flip-flop and do whatever. We have a very relaxed atmosphere for our kids.
Yes,
they
do.
And I think that that's the most important. When we were in and out of court so much, though, it was hard to plan things, you know?
Oh, it was almost impossible.
We couldn't plan. And this is all of us. Vacations, trips to see our family. Mm-hmm. Because you, number one, never knew when you were going to go back to court. Because that wasn't ever just, okay, it's going to be 1 month from now on a Thursday. No, it could be Tuesday and they were... we'll call you and say, okay, now you have court in the morning at 9 a.m.
Yep. And God forbid you ever ask for time with your kids on somebody else's time. That was a big no.
Yeah. We had zero civil communication. So there was no give and take.
No.
If it was written by the attorney and the judge,
that was the only thing we followed.
That's what we did. There was no give and take whatsoever. It was so hard because you never knew what was going to happen in court. Mm-hmm. This week you may have custody of your kids. Next week you may not.
Yeah.
Next week you may not see them for a month. And then the next month you may have them for 6 months.
You may have planned Christmas thinking that it was yours and then it switched. So yeah.
Yeah. So you just never know. It's not a secret that parenting in general is probably the hardest thing that you'll ever do in your entire life.
Yep.
It's not enough that we go through the
childbirth
and excruciating pain of childbirth. In some cases, families go through intense stress and heartache just attempting to get pregnant. And I mean, that's hard in itself. Whichever way you choose or you need to start your family, any of them have their own hurdles. But after you have the children, that's when the struggle begins.
That's the hardest
pregnancy part. Pregnancy is like cake.
I would do that 100 times.
And I had horrible pregnancies.
Oh, but wow.
They were a cakewalk compared to what we deal with on a day-to-day basis with how we raise these tiny humans.
Which I find so crazy, because the one thing we have similar, which is rare, is that we parent almost identical.
Yeah.
So just naturally.
What are we doing wrong?
I don't know. We're failures.
I just want to cry.
Maybe we accidentally got the wrong kids.
Wonder if they're switched at birth.
I don't know. I've been looking for the receipt. I told you, I need you to have John look.
Yeah, he told me there wasn't a return policy.
I think he lost it in a divorce.
You know, when you asked to speak with a manager, he was not for that. So,
God forbid.
But parenting, the what ifs, I think that has been the root of my evil. Mm-hmm. What if I do the wrong thing? What if I don't give them enough love? What if I give them too much? You just never know until you try. And then it's trial and error. And then before you know it, these humans are grown and probably
screwed them up. Yeah, you've screwed them up and they're probably going to blame you for things that you've completely forgotten that you did.
Yeah, because don't we blame our parents?
Absolutely. Every day. Yeah.
Like, well, if you would have done this different. I remember my mom tells me this story all the time and she gets so angry. She's like, your sister blames me and says that maybe I should have spanked her more. And I'm like, well, maybe you should have. But it's like, whatever. But you know, like, you just don't know. And then it changes. Because a book that was written 20 years ago says you should do this thing. Now, today, you've got to do a totally different thing.
And we have so many different factors that weigh into the society our kids are growing up in. Social media, technology. Ugh. You've got this whole, it's just a whole different thing politically that they're growing up in and across the board.
That's, I think the biggest lie I ever told myself was that all kids are the same and I should parent them the same way. Wrong. Totally wrong. But I always got so angry when I would hear people say, you know, this child, maybe you should try this with them. Well, no, I'm in charge. I'm the boss. And I shouldn't have to change my parenting style to fit my kids.
It's almost though like, where's the fine line between being a consistent parent, but also being a flexible parent with each child? Like, I want to be consistent in how I parent all three of them. However, I can't necessarily parent Jagger the same way I would Jackson. So where is that fine line and that balance?
And now that my girls are grown, they'll always tell me, Mom, with Tanner, if we would have done that, you would have beat us. And now he gets away with murder. Well, I'm tired. That's just plain and simple. I'm tired. But I'm stubborn. I'm really competitive, scary competitive. But I will not negotiate with terrorists.
No.
I've never been that way. I am the parent. And because I said,
yeah,
that's how I've always parented, and I don't want to change. I have the upper hand. For one part of my life, I'm in charge, and that's as a parent.
That's exactly right.
I always say, if God wanted me to be your friend, he would have made me your age.
Well,
he doesn't. He almost did, okay? Haley, but he didn't. I'm still your mom.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of you. I'm here to make sure that you do the right thing.
I never wanted to be my kid's friend, and I think that's because I grew up with parents that never tried to be my friend. I always knew. My mom was my mom, and she is scary as hell. Right?
I think there is a chain of command.
Yeah.
And as moms, you rank at the top of that.
I'm 33 years old, and still, not only do I fear my mom, but I respect my mom.
Thank you.
Will always have those two. They come hand in hand. It's a fear and respect.
No matter if I'm angry with my mom or upset with her or disagree.
Oh, she's my mama. Yeah, you can't.
I would never disrespect her.
No.
I still am scared.
If I did disrespect her,
yeah, she'd knock me in the next
week.
Bring
that belt back out from all those years
for
ago.
For real, the fly swatter would be on me in a skinny minute. But once I realized that you do kind of have to parent kids differently, depending on their personalities, because what works with one may not necessarily work with other. We have a child, you and I, that we've tried literally every single thing you can think of, and we've still yet to find the magic potion for this particular child, but we're not going to give up.
What do we say? We're going to bring in your first husband. We're going to bring Jerry in.
Yeah, we're going to bring
him all in. Hands on deck at this point.
Yeah, we might be reaching out to some of our followers.
If you
can, we borrow
OG,
your dad.
If you're an OG parent, please DM
please
us.
Reach out to us. Okay, so say you're unlucky enough to go through a divorce. Now you've got to share these children that you created. Not only are you sharing with your ex, who you sometimes loathe, maybe not us, but some people, I mean, you know, you're forced to share with a new victim, their spouse.
Yep.
And what if they just don't jump on your party bus? What if they're not on your parenting train?
It can be, it's got to be difficult. I know that you experience it and I experience it on my end but I'm not the one. I'm the one, I guess, in my situation. I don't always jump on his parenting train.
See, that's where, like, I'm very, okay, I'm going to admit this. Wow, this is going to hurt me, but I'm very controlling.
No.
I know, shocker. I do need to be in control. And it's because I really had a crazy past, and being in control
makes you feel safe.
Makes me feel safe. It's not some power thing. Like, it's not, you know, I am woman, hear me roar, which I kind of am, but it is because I just need that. It's my safety. I want to feel like, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I physically, my person has to be the one in control. I just want there to be control in the situation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's not any control in our dysfunction and it drives me nuts.
Oh yeah.
And there are things that I look at, and John can be so, bless his heart, he can be so particular and peculiar. And there'll be one thing that is just not a big deal, but it'll send him over the edge. But then there'll be something that I find to be very extremely a big deal, and he just blows it off.
Cool as a cucumber, yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, I don't get that.
I'm kind of, in a way, I think, like, I thrive in chaos.
Yeah.
If I don't have chaos, I feel very unstable.
Which is so...
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy, because I'm just so the opposite. But how we work so well together is...
Exactly. My paranoia starts to get extreme and my anxiety happens if there's too much like stability or control in a situation. So I almost need those little other factors to keep my brain firing and to... Well, let me tell you. I say that up until I have been challenged with a 10-year-old that keeps my brain firing at all cylinders of all hours of the day.
Yeah.
He has brought me to a whole new level of parenting. I think by the time I'm done parenting him, I'm going to be an OG times like six.
Yeah, because there are things that are happening in this particular child's life and our co-parenting regimen right now mm-hmm. that I've never dealt with in my...
Yeah.
Oldest daughter is 24.
So we're experiencing
these are new. Together. This is brand new information. Okay. It's brand new psychosis.
Never heard this before.
Never, ever. Not even a little bit.
Yeah. This is new to both of us.
I can, especially this week, but I can bet if anybody has gone through this blended family, co-parenting, all the craziness, you've probably asked yourself the same question. Why me, God?
Yes.
Why me?
Yes.
And this week, both of us have asked, why, God? Why do you think that I know what I'm doing here? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you just feel like you don't.
And I had to look, you know, my 10-year-old Jack in the eyes and say, I know that you don't like me. Unfortunately, you didn't get to pick me as your mom.
And I didn't really get to pick you because I would have picked you. A nice kid.
Right? Like it sucks for you a little bit. I'm sorry, but it sucks to suck because I am your mom. You were given to me.
I had a child like Jack and her name was Taylor and I still have her. But thank God it's gotten different. And so I do give you hope for that, because when they get to be adults and they, you know, sometimes she still has her days where she's not so nice to me. But she, I was just convinced that she came out of the womb hating me.
Yeah.
She just, we did not click. I carried this child. I changed her first diaper. I nursed her yes. for 9 months. But she did not like me.
That is how Jackson is. It's almost like it doesn't feel like he's of me.
Yeah.
It's like loving someone else's child. It's very strange.
And I do love someone else's child.
Yes.
But I have a stronger bond sometimes with other children
than
I remember having with Taylor because, and it wasn't because I didn't want it. I wanted it bad. I tried with all my might. She just liked her dad.
See, what's crazy is Jack and I did have a very close bond up until, and I want to say it was probably up until I had Jagger.
Oh.
So I had that second baby. And then from that point on, it was a switch. He was a completely different child. And yes, he does have a closer bond with his dad. I think he probably always has. But
and that's okay.
It really was once more children started entering the picture.
He wanted to be an only child.
Yes.
And he would have thrived as an only child.
He probably
child.
Would. And unfortunately for him, he's got like 85 siblings.
Yeah. And I think Tanner has that, a little bit of that mentality mm-hmm. where he would have thrived because he was kind of an only child because
right.
he was from my second marriage and the girls were so much older than him. That it technically, you know, he was kind of like the only child, but that's what he likes. He
yeah.
likes undivided attention. Jackson likes undivided attention. He wants to be the star of the show 24/7, kind of like me. But yeah. I accept the fact that there are other fish in the sea and I can't take all the attention. He hasn't
accepted
drawn that,
that
conclusion.
Which he's
quite
been a,
yet.
He's been a child of multiple siblings now for 10, almost 11 years.
Yeah.
And multiple siblings for like 4 years.
Yep.
So why that hasn't become a realization.
He's just not sinking in. He's really having a hard time accepting it.
Not getting it.
The first step is accepting that there's a problem. He has not. All right. So what if we told you that we've got the secret to successfully co-parenting in two different homes? Because I think we've kind of nailed it. Like we really have.
We have.
It's simple. It's communication.
Yeah. We have the co-parenting down. We don't have the children's behavior.
Yeah, it's the children.
Down.
You know, they're the problem, not the parents.
But the parenting is great. We parent great.
But I can remember when we did not have this communication and look how horrible it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. Just because you start communicating, that doesn't mean that it's going to solve all of your problems because kids are unique like that. Just when you think you figured them out, boom. Plot twist. They change
there's
the
a wrench
roles.
In things.
It's no secret that we have a lot of kids. We just told you that. And sometimes I got a good idea up my sleeve. Since I have been a parent almost as long as I've been alive. However, we struggle. I think both of us have said this before. I love to tell people that we struggle.
Yeah.
Because I love to hear that other people struggle. It makes you feel like, you know what? I'm not alone in this world.
You're not.
Parenting is like, I've shed more tears about being a mom than I have
anything
in any of my divorces.
Oh, yeah.
In any of my relationships.
Parenting is the hardest job I've ever had or done or will ever do.
I want to say it's very rewarding because it is. But then at the same time, it's not rewarding.
It's one of those jobs that is equally disappointing and rewarding. Right. At the same time. There you go.
You perfect words. Took them right out of my mouth. There are times when our kids throw us a bone and they aren't naughty all at the same time. Which is great, because can you imagine if we had six of them that were naughty at the same time? I probably think we would be the ones in the padded room.
Yep.
Other times, it's zone defense. And that's great about our big blended family, because there are enough of us that we can say, you know what, you take this one, I'm going to take that one, he's going to take that one, she's going to take that one. We're just all going to be on a kid to make sure that we're at least going to get, I'd say we got a 50-50 chance. We're going to get three out of the six.
That's fair.
On the road to goodness.
That's fair.
Not all of them.
It's a nice reprieve.
All right, here's the thing. You can look at things two ways. You can find the misery in everything. You can hate the fact that you're divorced and co-parenting, or you can find the positive in the situation. You got another warm body to lessen the load.
Yes.
And that's, I think, what we did.
Yeah.
We finally accepted the fact that, you know what? Neither of us are going anywhere. We're here to stay. We live here now. And we're going to accept the help.
Let me tell you, when I got to that point, because, you know, it took me a long time to really appreciate this.
Oh, me too.
I appreciate it so much. I almost want to, like, campaign for everyone to get a co-parent.
Listen, did you see that we got a message this week from a girl?
Yes, and she's like,
I love you guys so much. I can't wait till I get a divorce so that I can be like you. And I'm like, no, don't get a divorce. No, but she didn't want to get a divorce.
I'm not going to lie. And for us especially, we do have so many children, and we have, there are a handful of them that are a little bit more difficult than others. Sometimes a child needs more than 1, 2, 3, 4, sometimes more than 5 parents.
Look, it takes
more
a village.
More hands on deck, the better.
Co-parenting is a team sport.
I mean, really.
You gotta be. The secret?
It's zone defense.
Zone defense. But you gotta make sure you're on the same team, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You can't be playing for the Broncos and him be playing for the Cowboys. You're not gonna, it's not gonna work that way. You gotta have the same end goal in mind. And we do, and that's just to raise good humans.
Mm-hmm.
We don't expect our kids to be perfect. We're not perfect. No one's ever going to be perfect, but geez.
I told Jackson the other night, I said, there are three things that are my sole responsibility and job to make sure that you have in your head when you turn 18 to leave off into the world. Not to break the law, not to break any hearts, and just be a good person.
There you go.
That's it. I don't really care about anything else. I don't care if you like want to grow your hair long and like walk around with a pet giraffe. Like, I don't care.
Do you, boo?
Please just be a good person.
Be a good person. That's why I've always said, I have accepted my kids no matter what you want to do. I don't care if you want to date somebody that's tall, short, black, brown, green, yellow, male, female, both,
yeah,
whichever. I don't care if you want to date somebody that's 80 or 18, whatever you want to do. Just be a good, kind person.
That's it.
Just be respectful and be happy. If you're happy, I'm happy.
That's it.
It's just simple. It's just so simple. What better way to get to your end goal than by putting your heads together? Come up with a foolproof solution. And I think that we've done that.
I think we have.
Work in progress, but we're doing it. It's like having a group project in school. It's going to turn out so much better if you put your heads together and come up with ideas.
Everybody has to participate.
Right. And we do that. We put our heads together. Mm-hmm. You're the one that really put in my mind after all the years that I'd been a mom that, hey, not every child can be parented the same way.
We have to shake
it up sometimes. You got to figure out what works well for each particular child. I love that. It's really helped me in my parenting.
Yay for all of us.
In our case, like, what is it? 4 heads are better than 1? Yes. We have 6 or 8 heads. We don't know. We got
7,
all the heads.
8.
But just like you said, when you get on the same page, it's a whole new ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to. So let's talk about transitions a little bit. I know that it's probably tough for kids to go from one home to the other. It's tough for me to go to a hotel and not have all of my things.
Yes.
So I get it.
And even as closely as we co-parent,
our kids still
do the same transition behavior that everybody else does.
How can you make it easier? Well, we find that when you make the transition smooth.
Right.
Then
so
it's much
when
easier.
When the parents aren't arguing, there's no tensions at those.
Right.
It's almost like short and sweet a little bit. But ours are more personal now. They're not yes. so cold. It's not like shove them out the door. It's like, hey, let's mom come in. Let dad come in. Let's talk for a little bit. Let's warm them up. And then we leave.
Right. And we always make sure that they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't explain ourselves to our kids because, again, we're the parents. They're not. But we do let them know, okay, this week you'll be with mom. Yeah. This week you'll be with dad and stepmom.
Jagger's got it down. He knows.
Oh, Sunday, he knows. Sunday at four.
Sunday at four. I'm like, okay.
But we do have a schedule, even though, like we said, we will be very relaxed and lenient on it. We have a schedule in place just to make sure that, you know, because all these parents have jobs. Lauren yeah. and I run our own business aside from yes. our other jobs. The other thing I think with transitions, having the same rules, it's really a big thing. And I know that not everything, because we don't have exactly the same, but the major ones, the most important ones, we are the same on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's very important.
It is. Consistency throughout.
Yeah.
If they get dropped off with me at 4 o'clock on Sunday and they've done something naughty in the afternoon, they got their electronics taken away, that rolls over into my
yes,
home.
I love that. I love that about us. We're flexible. Mm-hmm. We're on the same page and we keep the lines of communication open. That yep. is extremely important.
All the time.
Because this happened to us when we were going through our custody battle. If they did get in trouble here, because we didn't communicate, they knew, you know what? It's only going to be one more hour and I get to go to my mom's and I won't be in trouble anymore.
That's right.
And the same with you. Oh, I'm going to go to dad's. Well, mom and dad don't get along. So dad's not going to follow through with mom's punishment.
Yep.
So I'm in the clear. That's not okay. You're teaching your kids how to manipulate the situation.
And I love
they're
it.
Already good at it.
We know things before they even get to our home. We've already addressed it.
So we've either called, FaceTimed, text, emailed, skywritten, whatever.
I love when they come to me and I'm like, hey, so I heard you got on yellow today. And their eyes like, just like, how did you find out?
You're like a magic.
Also, we have a teacher who has been with us for a while. So she knows our whole dynamic.
Oh, yes.
And she is so good.
She's like, I know all your moms, all your dads. I will call them all.
She knows all your brothers. She loves it.
I know. And I love it. I love that people know our kids and they can catch them before we can even catch them trying to be facetious or secretive or sly.
I'm going to take a picture of what was in Jet's notebook this week. And I think it's the most heartwarming thing because it's a place that John and I it took us a very long time to get to. But in Jet's notebook, he got on yellow and John wrote in there, Jet will not have any electronics for the rest of the week. I'm sorry. Signed dad. Well, the teacher commented below that and said, thanks, appreciate it. You're always on top of things. I commented below and said, great job, dad. He will not have electronics in mom's house either.
Oh,
so like, I love that we're on the same page no matter what. Like you're not going to get
that
away.
That warms my heart because there was a time that
he has them here.
That there would have been probably a bird emoji and all the bad things.
I would have probably scribbled out John's writing completely.
Just whited it out. But don't get caught up in the whose day is it. You're a team. Your parents. It's always your day. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's always your day. You never get a break.
Never.
But that's something I love about us. If our schedule gets crazy, we jump in and we help each other. We're a team. We're parents. We're parents of these kids, all of them. We're not possessive of them anymore.
No, look, even our free time, we go and get our hair done. And it's by who?
One of our kids.
Yeah, one of our kids. We're around them all the time.
So here's the big thing that we deal with in our dynamic, and it's behavioral issues. And this isn't particular just to blended families. This is every parent in the world. But one of our biggest issues in parenting and co-parenting happens to be bad behaviors. And I'm going to toot our horn and say that we really do a good job at making sure our children have the most amazing life. Mm-hmm. They all have great lives.
They're extremely privileged.
Because we could be those parents that we were in the beginning that didn't talk, that didn't look, your kids are getting older, and we dealt with this. I think we even wrote this in one of our custody agreements back in the day. Your kids are going to get older, and they want to be kids. They want to be teenagers. They want to be preteens. They want to have sleepovers. Oh, you can't do that. It's dad's week. Oh, you can't do that. It's mom's week. Be flexible.
Yes.
That's such a short amount of time that we're doing this. That being said, though, no matter how good you are, or good you think you are, your kids have a mind of their own and a strong will to go along with it. So they're going to do what they're going to do. Yep. Don't blame yourself.
No, doesn't matter perfect of an environment or a home you make for your kids or your co-parenting, they're still going
to
be
They're still going to find ways to manipulate the situation. The key is, though, that we're so on top of it, we no longer let them win.
Oh, no. Yeah, we catch on top of it. Yeah. Good for us.
We're catching it before it even happens. And they don't like it sometimes. They're not allowed to come to this house. And this was something that happened before. They're not allowed to come in this house and talk about all the terrible, awful things that happened at that house. And they're not allowed to come to your house and talk about how miserable this house is.
That's right. I don't want to hear it.
No.
Drop it. Don't care.
Because if mom knocked you upside the head, it was for a good reason.
Now if dad spanks, I'm like, good.
Yeah. If dad spanked you,
what did you do?
It was your fault.
What did you do to deserve it? I totally back that decision.
You shouldn't. And this happens so much in blended families. You're scared to be parents.
You are.
You're scared to discipline your kids because what if they go tell mom or they go tell dad? And so you're just supposed to let your kids just get away with murder and be terrible, awful humans because you don't get along with the person you created that child
with? That creates long-term issues.
Yeah.
And that person, that child is going to learn how to do that as an adult.
Yep.
That's not healthy.
You got to stay consistent because if you don't, you're setting your children up for failure.
Exactly.
Consequences have a passport. They need to travel from home to home to place to school to everywhere.
I love it.
You're in trouble here. You're in trouble there.
I mean, listen, I have had speeding tickets in every state in America pretty much. And they follow me.
They follow you. Okay. Your license will be revoked no matter what. But you got to stay in the know. That's why you have to communicate with each other because you got to let your co-parent know what's going on in your home during your time so that they can know and address the situation. Say it comes up in their home. You know, you just have to know what's going on. Remember that you're on the same team. It's okay to write your own rules. I read something this week in one of my mom groups that these parents were fighting over custody and they were going back and forth in court, but now the dad wants to change it up and the mom's like, nope, we got to wait for the attorney. Don't be afraid. You know, we say this so often. Don't let your attorneys or a judge dictate what you do. As long as you both agree, do what's right for your kids.
That's right. They're your children. You created them together. You probably know way better for what is good for them than any judge or attorney ever could.
Absolutely. If you have an extra co-parent, welcome them to your shit show.
Yeah.
Let them in. Give them a front row seat. Everybody brings their own puzzle piece. And you don't know that person, that co-parent, they may be just the piece you need to solve your mess.
Yep.
And I think we have fit our puzzles.
I think so.
So good. All right, before we get to calling the Kirks, we do have a quick announcement. We've been getting a lot of questions about our relationship. Good and bad. how things began. And most of you guys already know because you followed us from the beginning. But for those of you that don't or that just started listening, please read our blogs. Our entire lives are laid out for your reading pleasure. However, after much deliberation, Lauren and I have decided that we're probably going to retell our story.
Yes.
In the form of our podcast. Not in the sense that we're going to go back and say the same things that we already have, but we're going to go back and look at each situation that we wrote, starting from the beginning. Now that the wounds have healed a lot more than they were back then, we want to revisit that journey and touch on some of the more difficult topics that maybe we were hesitant to discuss when we originally wrote on them, don't you think?
I agree.
We should have probably made that an entire podcast season of its own, just like, hey, round two of this.
Yes.
But it's fine. We're going to fit it in here. We're going to make it work and route it a different direction during this season. So starting next week, we're going to go back and we're going to recap on each episode, but add a little of the not so fun
and more uncomfortable things. We won't be as cautious this time.
Yeah, but we're still going to be in love, so it's okay.
We're good.
But we'll also maybe pull a main topic from each of them, you know, so they're not exactly the same.
There's a lesson to be had from them all.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, that's just a heads up. Get in touch with us, guys. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Send us topics that you would like for us to discuss. And make sure you check out our Blended is Better merchandise on our website, pastchaos.com. Also, please follow us on all of our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, the amazing TikTok that we are setting on fire. We do weekly Facebook Lives every Wednesday where we give you a glimpse into our real lives and discuss all the crazy chaos that's going on in our week. If you haven't already, do not forget to subscribe to, download, and rate our podcast. Call on the Kirks.
Here we go.
This week, there's a bio mom that writes in with an issue, and she says that she's having a hard time with the schedule she and her ex have.
Oh.
The kids are not transitioning well at all, and she states that when they're with their dad, he allows them to have free range and do whatever they want. Then, when they're with her, they misbehave because there are rules and structure. She feels that her ex is doing this on purpose, allowing the kids to do what they want because he's bitter about their divorce. What do we have to say?
Been there, done that.
Well, this was a great episode for you to write in about this on. Okay. We just talked about this.
Totes been there. So, I mean, I would start addressing it slowly for one and maybe just ask for a couple compromising things. Hey, you know, like, can we try to compromise on a bedtime at least or a consistent diet? And I'll do the same in my house and I'll make any changes you want here. Compromise with it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think eventually once you get consistency going, he's going to probably see how it's actually beneficial.
If you're going
the kids.
Guns blazing, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, just give like a
that.
Little hint. Drop little hints.
Hey, maybe these little brats should go to bed on time because they're evil when they come back.
Also a little secret, ask for like suggestions from him. It's going to make him feel very included.
Oh, yeah. What do you think we should do about this?
And then he's more likely going to compromise with you on things that maybe you suggest.
I will say that Jerry, Roy, and I went through this when the girls were in, before, I think they were still in elementary school. They were seeing Jerry every weekend or every other weekend, and the transition was very difficult because at Jerry's house, they were doing whatever they want, free for all. It should only take your kids 2 days to
reacclimate.
Reacclimate into the new territory or the home that they just came from. Also, I think what we did was we held our kids accountable. Mm. We didn't just blame the, oh, you know what? It's because that we're divorced. No, they are still human beings.
And they have an understanding of what can fly in one home and what can fly
if
in another.
If you know you don't do it here, why would you go over there and do it? That's, come on, man. If there's just absolutely no way that you can communicate and agree on the same rules and routine at each house, maybe just try explaining that to the kids. Hey, there are different rules here at dad's house than there are at mom's house. And that's it.
This is your life. Sucks to suck.
Yeah, this is how it goes. Not everything is peaches and cream.
Yep.
Maybe dad's been in the rules because he doesn't get enough time with the kids. So is it possible to rework the schedule?
Yeah. That's a good idea, too.
I think.
Yeah. I've been there. So
if Jerry and I would have lived closer to each other, I think we would have definitely done a different type schedule. Of parenting. Because I think that's, you know, he was always like, I don't want to be the bad guy all the time.
Right.
Well,
sorry.
You married me. So sucks.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Kirks and our big blended family, visit our website at pastchaos.com.
Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by hitting the subscribe button. If you really want to get personal, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in every Sunday when we release new episodes. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to and review our podcast.
And just so y'all know, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.